And welcome to Deliciously Gluten-Free, your guide to tasty foods and eating out again without feeling excluded. And yes, that includes really good bread. This is your resource for practical ways to interact with the world and get your needs met, from delicious recipes to ideas for safe and satisfying ways to attend various social situations, as well as ways to work with friends and loved ones to find win-wins at the dinner table. I am your host, Mary Pizon, and I am a gluten-free coach and consultant. And I'd like to introduce you to today's speaker, Eliquity. Eliquity loves to eat and travel. What better way to combine both of her passions than in a podcast? She produces Travel Gluten-Free Podcast and is the author of The Guide to Traveling Gluten-Free. Eliquity gives gluten-free travelers the tools they need to enjoy their gluten-free vacation. She enjoys sharing her knowledge of fabulous gluten-free restaurants, foods, and her amazing world travel experiences. Thank you so much for joining us today, Eliquity. I'm so happy you're here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to have me come on, Mary. I'm glad to come here and share my knowledge of gluten-free travel with all of your peeps, because I'm sure that we have a lot of some peeps in common for sure, some followers and listeners.
Oh, I suspect so. So tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get here?
Originally, I didn't have celiac disease most of my life. Most of my life, I was just, I was Italian. I was eating all sorts of bread. I love bread. It's in my DNA. And so I never had any kind of like health issues. About 8 years ago, I found out that I can't eat gluten anymore. It makes me horribly sick. Found out I never got positively tested for celiac disease, but I have all of the symptoms, and then I also have all of like the other like secondary tests all come back positive for having autoimmune. So I just consider myself having celiac disease because I can eat. I can actually, if I get cross contaminated or eat something, like I'll know within 15 minutes
Oh,
that I'm
wow.
sick. Yeah, so I literally put a timer. Like I'm like, phew, and then like the waiter was just like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm putting a timer on to make sure this food is safe." No offense, I just need to know if it's safe. So anyway, I love to travel, and when I found out I could not eat gluten anymore, my first trip that I took after that was a 3-week road trip by myself, mostly by myself. And then 2/3 of the way through, my husband met me in Oregon, and then we went the rest of the Pacific Coast Highway. But I drove the entire Pacific Coast Highway, and 4 days in, I was like, wow, if I get gluten and I'm by myself and I'm like puking in the bathroom for 6 hours, like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to take care of myself? Like, this is not going to be fun. So when I came back from my trip, I was looking for resources and people to tell me, like, how do I travel gluten-free? How do I pack my food? Like, what do I do? And nobody really did that. So that's when I decided to start travel gluten-free, because I figured I was not the only person out there who is gluten-free and who loved to travel. And it's not just about the food. Well, it is about the food, clearly, because I'm a foodie. But it's more about like living in independently when you have like a challenge, specifically this one, having like you can't eat gluten for medical reasons. And so I made my podcast to help people live independently and not feel like you have to live in fear and not ever travel again because you have celiac disease, because I do it all the time and I have celiac disease. And sometimes I get gluten, sometimes I get cross-contaminated, but even though you ask all the questions, do all the things, you still can get cross-contaminated or sick because people, you can't watch everybody behind the counter. But in general, I usually have a really good time, find really fun, amazing places to eat that are usually local places that are not like right off the highway, like not chain places. And so I've ended up just turning it into like a fun experience and learning new things.
That's fabulous. And I gotta say, like, I'm not jealous that you get sick at all, but boy, that 15 minutes is nice. I have to wait 3 hours, at which point I'm already home and I can't talk to the waiter or anything. So the world is opening up again, and so many people are ready to get back out there. If someone is new to being gluten-free, what do you recommend to them for their first trip?
So if you're brand new, and a lot of people are really worried about going out, rightfully so, because especially if you're brand new, you're not sure of your level of tolerances and things like that. But what I recommend is for people to do something simple, like a 3-day weekend that's like maybe in your state, or like a staycation, or and have a place where you have your own kitchen where you can cook your own food. That's the easiest way to go. Another thing you can do is I always tell people, like, if you're brand new, do short trips first, like don't try to go on a 2-week excursion because you'll just get really frustrated. So like maybe a 4-day cruise, because cruises, amazingly enough, people think like, oh, a cruise isn't going to be, and you don't have to go on a special gluten-free cruise. You can go on any cruise for 4 days, 3 days. And they are really good about making anyone with any type of food allergy that like food that is safe for them to eat. And so I've seen people with all sorts of food accommodations getting fed on cruises, and they're very service oriented. So I say like take a short cruise or go camping where you can control your own food, or, you know, do something where it's really easy for you to control your own food and do like a 3 or 4 day and then try that out, see how it feels. And then if you don't like that kind of travel with being gluten-free, then try something different. But I would say those are like, or like a road trip. Like road trips are really much easier than flying when you're gluten-free, because you can pack your own food. You can keep it in the back of the car. You can pack a cooler. You don't have to worry about like, hey, where am I going to eat? Because when I'm doing like a 7-8 hour like road trip on a day, what I'll do is I'll just pack my food in a cooler and I'll have lunch with me, and I'll stop at a rest stop, like sit out at a picnic table, enjoy the outside, eat lunch, you know, go to the bathroom, walk around a little bit, hop back on the road. So there's a lot of accommodations you can make for yourself, but I would just say keep that first trip short, safe, sweet, and simple.
Very cool. I love that the cruises are so conscious of not just gluten, but all kinds of allergies. Do you have to talk to somebody or you just show up?
Yeah. So you definitely, so when you make your cruise reservation, you want to call the cruise line directly. Mm-hmm. Like don't email them, and speak with somebody and tell them your reservation number. And you want to let them know like what food allergies or what food intolerant, like what foods you can't eat. So I have like a list of 12 things I can't eat, but it's mainly like 6 that I really, really have to avoid. And the other ones are like, I just can't eat them if they're on my plate. So it's not a big deal. So you have to call them ahead of time. You have to let them know like what specific foods you can't eat. And then what I also do is 2 weeks before the cruise, I call them again to make sure, because one time I called them 2 weeks before and they're like, oh no, we didn't have your information in. And I knew I had called them before. Oh, wow. So yeah. So you always have to double check, never assume just because you called them once the information's in there, especially post COVID, everything's kind of crazy. So call them again 2 weeks prior, or especially even if you're booking through somebody else, unless they're a gluten-free travel agent, then make sure that you call them directly and make sure that they know. Because a lot of times if people aren't gluten-free, they don't understand why you need to call or that you need to call. Mm-hmm. So call them, make sure they know. And then when you get to the ship, either now Royal Caribbean, I believe, is now assigning tables to you. So the last time I was on a trip in Royal Caribbean this past July, a month ago, we had an assigned table on an assigned floor. And I actually, even if I didn't have an assigned floor, I would go the same floor restaurant. So it's the main dining room. I don't go to the other, there's other paid restaurants you can eat at in a cruise, and I don't go to them because I've gone to those twice and both times I've gotten cross-contaminated. So I don't go to the paid ones. I only go to the main dining room, and the food is actually really good there. There's not like a huge difference in quality of food between the main and the paid dining, I feel. So I feel like I never feel like I get left out of eating really good food at the main dining room. So you have to talk to your maitre d', make sure that you give them all your list of things, and then they will, the first night, you'll usually get your food a little bit later than everybody else because they have to make it separately. And I know in Royal Caribbean, they have a separate allergy kitchen. And on Princess, they have a separate kitchen they do all their gluten-free food in. And I've done their kitchen tour, which was really cool. So those two cruise lines I've traveled and have really good, safe food to eat. And then every night you should go back to the same exact main dining room that you've been to before. So you have the same maitre d', so they know exactly who you are and what your food allergies are, so that there's less of a chance of somebody messing up, because you can go to different dining rooms, but then they have to move your order, and that's really hard. And then I've had to wait for my food. So I would say go to the same main dining room all the time. And then the night before, they'll give you the menu to order for the next night. And then you tell them like what you want. And then they'll tell you if that can be made gluten-free. And the people on cruise ships are exceptionally knowledgeable about what is in their food. Mm-hmm. Like if you're at the Windjammer or the main dining area, the cafeteria style, like buffet up on the top floor of the ship, whatever ship that is, then you can ask for the chef. They'll come out, they'll tell you what you can and can't eat at the buffet. And then you can also ask them for like, hey, can you make me Like so, it was something in the fryer. I can't remember. So they have a dedicated fryer, Royal Caribbean, so they can
Ooh.
make, yes. And it does take a few minutes longer, but it's totally worth waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. I've heard very similar stories about Disney, and that's also been my experience going to Disney, is that like you can call, ask to speak to the chef, they just walk right out and you say, I can't eat this, whatever. And they're like, okay, do you want a blueberry muffin?
Yup, they can pretty much make you anything. It's
It's
magic at Disney. They can pretty
amazing.
much make you anything. And I
Yeah.
find that with the sit down, it's much easier to get, say, food. With the
Yeah.
fast food places, I just avoid them, even if they say they have gluten-free options, because usually they're so freaking busy, like they're gonna make a mistake. And so I just avoid those places altogether.
That's kind of how that has been my approach as well. Is there a specific time that you think is better to go?
Oh, anytime it's raining at Disney is a good time to be at Disney. Because I used to live 45 minutes from a Disney World, so we went to, like, we had the locals pass deal, like when it was $99 back like 2 decades ago. We used to go like all the time, not all the time, but we went pretty often with our kids, to the point where like our kids were sick of Disney. But and so yeah, when your kids get sick of Disney, you know you've been lying. Anyway, we would go, and the second it would rain, everybody would clear out. Like everybody would leave the park, but it's Florida, like it doesn't matter. It's gonna rain, and half an hour later, it's gonna clear up, and that's the best time. So if you were at gluten free and you're at a park, go when it like and it's raining. Stay at the park, because everybody's gonna clear out, and then you'll have pretty much the whole park to yourself. Like we got on Pirates of the
The
Caribbean
rides,
four times, yes, and just walked right on, got off, walked right on,
yes, I've done that too. It is so much fun.
yes. Or early in the morning, or later in the day, like 7 o'clock is good to, because there's less people there. I would say if you can pack your own lunch, do that, because that's the hardest time to order stuff, because there's just such long lines and everybody's out in the heat and miserable and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. So I would say if you can avoid eating lunch and just pack your own lunch, and then like eat your breakfast at your hotel, and then eat dinner at Disney at like a, you know, if you have, you can get a reservation somewhere, that's the best. At a sit down dinner, that's the best time to eat.
So let's swing back to traveling to a new place. Maybe you're taking a road trip. And our traveler is in a place they've never been before, and maybe they've packed, but they didn't pack enough, or maybe they just want something different. What do you recommend to them for choosing a new restaurant?
So there's a few things. One is that you definitely need to prepare ahead of time for traveling, for defining restaurants. If you're in a pinch, I always use the Find Me Gluten Free app, and I have the paid version. It's really great for finding that local restaurant. And usually a lot of the restaurants on there are good with other food allergies, not all the time, but usually they're good with other food allergies too. You can always go on and look up, like if you're near a major city, like hashtag gluten free Portland. That's actually a really good idea, because a lot of people who have gluten free restaurants will tag their restaurant, or people who have been to that restaurant will tag it with like gluten free in the city. So if you're near a
Great idea.
major city, look for that like gluten free with the city name hashtag on Instagram, and you could find places. I found places in London like that, like last minute, that were really great.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. I knew about Find Me Gluten Free, and I actually have the paid subscription for that app also. It's so worth it, and I feel like I'm kind of helping them keep the service going,
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
So
we definitely need to keep that service going. I rely on that a lot when I travel.
Oh yeah, I do too. I do too. So what is your favorite way to vacation while gluten-free? Like, what do you fly? Do you cruise? I know that you cruise a little bit. Like,
Yeah.
what's your favorite?
So that's kind of like asking an M&M, like a toddler, like what is your favorite color of M&Ms? But like honestly, I think road trips are my favorite, just because I love getting in the car and driving places, but not only like and seeing what's around me, but not only that, it's like if I see something on the side of the road, like this cool little museum that, you know, that's like offbeat, but I can like pull over and do whatever I want. I don't have to like go through TSA lines. I don't have to, you know, wait for my airplane that's late, blah, 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 whatever. Like, so road tripping is honestly one of my favorites. I haven't been camping enough lately either. So, and I love camping, because I just bring all my own food, don't have to worry about it. Can sit by the campfire at night. I usually sleep really well when I'm camping, but I think definitely road trips are my favorite. And road trip, if I could do road trip and camping together, that is like my absolute favorite.
I love the road trips also. It's so much
Yeah.
fun. So I get the impression that COVID aside, people might be tempted to get a little lax about other things too. Like, everybody's nobody's wearing masks hardly anymore. But staying gluten-free while traveling, like, it's harder, you know. You're not in your own environment. You don't know what your resources are. What do you think about getting lax on staying gluten-free when you're traveling?
Oh gosh, no, that's actually the time to actually do it more. Like I feel because like if I'm at home and I get gluten, I can like I'm like, oh crap, like I don't feel good. I can go back to my own bed. I can lay there for as every many hours I want. I don't have to worry about anybody walking, like maid service or anybody walking coming in. Like I don't have anything fun to do the next day, and I haven't just spent like dropped like 2 grand on a vacation. Like when you're on vacation, that's when you want to be like, I'm always extra vigilant on vacation, because I've spent that money, I've made that investment for an experience, and I don't want to waste it because A, I'm either not feeling good, or B, I can't even get out of bed. So one of the things I never do when I'm on vacation is I never eat gluten-free pizza unless it's like pizza that's certified gluten-free in a box I've gotten at a store. Because if you're going to get cross-contaminated, you're more likely to get it at a pizza shop unless it's a dedicated gluten-free pizza shop than anywhere else. So I avoid eating pizza when at a restaurant when I'm out.
That's good advice. Yeah, because like they just put it right there on the oven floor, and it's touching everything else that's ever been touched on
Yeah.
that
Plus, there's
same.
tons of wheat flour in the air, and then that can land on your pizza. So there's lots and lots. I mean, I will eat like there's certain like I've tried a couple places like since I moved to Oregon, and one of them I can't go back to because I did get cross-contaminated really bad. But I was at home and it was the weekend, so I'm like, okay, you know, I don't have to work. And so if you're going to try someplace new at home, I would always recommend try it on a Friday or Saturday. That way, if you don't feel good, you at least have a couple days to like lay around on the weekend that you don't have to work.
So, what is your dream destination? Where is it that you want to go?
Oh, that's a great question. Actually, okay, can I make a plug for where I'm going in January?
Of course.
Awesome. Okay, so I don't know if you know Ellen from Gluten Free Vacations, but we are going to go on. Okay, so we're going to go on this trip to Riviera Maya, which is in Mexico, at a beach. Which A, I love beaches, and B, I love beaches, and C, did I mention I really love beaches? And they're going to have like all gluten free food. So like having all like gourmet gluten-free food at a beautiful place at a beach in Mexico with warm and sand in the middle of the winter. There's hardly like I can't think of anything wrong with
That
that.
sounds amazing.
Yes. And one of the foods you can get there are gluten-free chocolate ravioli. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to take that home in my luggage, but I'm taking that home in my luggage.
Yes, that also sounds amazing.
Right?
So, if you were to leave listeners with one single action for today, what would it be?
Oh, that's a great question. If it's for traveling gluten-free, I would say if you haven't picked a place to travel because you're really nervous about traveling, go on Instagram and see all the other people who are traveling gluten-free like me. Like, you can do it. So I would say if you have one action item, think about like why are you so afraid to travel? And but then look at all of the people who are traveling and seeing that it can be done. You just have to know like the steps to do it, that and then just like, you know, learning how to gain that confidence to be proactive for yourself.
That's great advice. Absolutely. There is life after diagnosis, and we need to just step back into
Yes,
So,
absolutely.
I understand that you have a free gift for everyone watching today, and I think it's your book. Can you tell us
Yes,
about
yes.
it?
Yep, so I'm giving away a copy of The Guide to Traveling Gluten-Free, and it's a paper, it's I have a paper copy and I have a PDF, so we can do either or. But yeah, so I'm giving it away. So if you
Wow.
do we have details on this yet, Miri? Like, do people have to follow you and I? Did we find out that?
There's going to be links on the page for this.
Perfect. Okay,
Yeah.
so Miri's gonna have links on the page on how you can enter to win a copy of The Guide to Traveling Gluten-Free. And I talk about like all forms of travel in there and how you can like pack your food on airplanes and all sorts of great stuff.
Oh, that is so cool. I can't wait to check that out. So, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Do you have any final thoughts?
Just, go out there and don't let celiac disease be so much of a challenge for you that you can't do what you want in life.
Brilliant. Thank you, Aliquity.
Thank you, Mary.